Welcome to Life Source Church. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud. Today you're going to hear a message from Pastor Walt that we hope encourages you.
We are back in Hebrews. I know that's where I left you a little while ago. I thought we would continue on. I'm using Hebrews as kind of my focus book this year, trying to understand it. And not only that, my focus this year, I try to have some type of a focus each year. And this year, I'm really trying to see God. I couldn't appreciate the last song even more because it's like it ties to our message in the sense of, what are we supposed to be doing as Christians? I mean, what are we here for? What are we supposed to be doing? What's supposed to be happening? What kind of life is supposed to be lived as a Christian here? Because otherwise, what are we doing with the time? Well, you know, what is the time all for? And what is it about? You know, should we be focused on certain things or not focused on things? Or, you know, what is, if you're a Christian here today and you're following Christ, you know, how is that supposed to look? Right? We're supposed to be making disciples. And so, you know, Hebrews is kind of talking to that group of people who are, they're leaving Judaism, they've come into, you know, they've gotten saved, they've come into the church, they're becoming the church, and now there's a message here from this particular author. And so just to kind of catch you up, because we're going to be jumping into chapter 2, because we were in chapter 1 before, but just kind of a recap, just to kind of catch you up and bring you into chapter 2. Chapter 1 was talking about Jesus is better than everything. The things that were listed there is Jesus better than the prophets. Everything the prophets had provided has the greatest value and the greatest understanding when it's connected to Christ. All of the various methods and ways God used to teach us has the greatest value when understood through the context of Christ, his ways, and his will. Okay? Jesus is better than angels. He is heir of all things, creator, brightness of his glory, express image of God. He upholds all things. He purged our sins and has a more excellent name. He is the only one worthy of honor. His truth is to be trusted and lived out. He possesses the credentials of the Godhead, and he is the head of the church. That's who he is. It's like, and more. And this, I'm trying to keep this condensed and not be exhaustive. And more. You know, Acts challenges us, there is no salvation in anyone else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That is Jesus Christ. He is the pivotal point of who we are. I mean, we just came through Easter, right? And his death, burial, and resurrection. And sometimes I think we just kind of move through that holiday and just get through it. But have you pondered it? Personally? I mean, think about it. God held each one of us in his mind's eye. But even greater than that, our sin was in him on the cross, paying for that so he could restore relationship. It's more than just, wow, yes, that's an amazing miracle, but it's so personal, so intimate, and so much how God wants to have relationship with us, wants to talk to us, wants to hear from us. If you're a parent today, you know what that's like. You want to hear from your kids. You want to be involved in their life. You want to provide for them. If we are this passionate about it, how much more is God? He knows us. He knit us together and provided the strengths, the weaknesses, and everything that we have for purpose. The church is oftentimes discussed as a body, and we need all these different parts, and we are all those different parts, and we need difference. You know, we've got a work day coming up. Not everybody can rake. We need it, but I mean, not everybody can rake. We need some other stuff that needs to happen. But before I go too far down the rabbit trail here, this is the level of relationship God is looking for and wanting, not just some holidays to celebrate. And this is the pivotal point of Christ's desire for us to understand him and to embrace him and embrace his truth and embrace his words and his message. And he's provided the way for us to do that because sin was in the way. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. That's John challenging us. So that's chapter one. Now we're on to chapter two. All right, we're going to talk about so great a salvation is not a checkbox item. If you need a Bible, there's one in the seats there. It's page 1373. Otherwise, you can turn to Hebrews 2 in your own copy of the Bible. Hebrews 2, verse 1 through 4, we'll be looking at today. We'll unpack what I mean by so great a salvation is not a checkbox item in a minute. Let's hit the text. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Pray with me. Father, as we come in connection with your scripture this morning, I pray, Father, your presence is felt by every person in this room. Your desire to know them and to be known by them is made more real and more earnest. Father, we ask that you would draw us into your word in a way that we connect with you, that we hear your Spirit's leading and direction, that our minds and our hearts are transformed by this word. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, unpacking salvation seen as not a checkbox item. It's interesting. It's like people are fun, to say the least. But so many times good intentions kind of draw us to places that they really shouldn't. You know, when people are reaching out to either family members or coworkers or whatever, that, you know, they want to see people come to the Lord there. They witness and they reach out and they want to see change and they want to see that happen. And sometimes the focus becomes salvation is just this destination point. If I can just get them to come to salvation, if I can just see them come to the Lord. And it's just this place of finality. And the reality is, salvation is a starting point. You know, it's like in Scripture, you're seen as becoming, you know, born again, a babe in Christ. You're this new creation. And it's a starting point. And we really have to start seeing salvation as that point, especially for ourselves. Because Scripture also talks in different places and in different ways where sometimes people are chronologically older, but spiritually, they're still children. They're still infants. They're still needing milk instead of the meat of the word. And it's like we have to come to grips with, okay, bringing ourselves to the scripture and going, okay, let me hold up this mirror and am I still a child or am I an adolescent in the Lord? Or am I older in the Lord? Where am I? But let this dictate, not your own heart, your own mind. Because sometimes we can give ourselves a whole lot more credit. You know, my grandson, who just is about to turn 6, you know, in his own mind, he's a rock star and he can do just about anything, you know, fly off the roof and all those kinds of things. And so we're really good about what we think about ourselves. But the reality is sometimes we need to be tweaked a little bit because our thinking can go astray. So great a salvation is not a checkbox item. And just to kind of bring some context, and again, this is not exhaustive, just some things top of the mind that come out when I think salvation. Forgiven of every sin, forever. Set free from the controlling power of sin, we have the Holy Spirit move in and change us profoundly. We have received the character of Christ deep down inside. Righteous, loving, honest, wanting God's best, desiring to glorify Him. We have a very open, intimate relationship with God, whether we realize it or not. We have an eternal destiny in heaven. We're never left nor forsaken. We are accepted as we are. And the Spirit helps us to grow and do better. We've been made part of the body of Christ, spiritually connected with other believers. We've been given the ability to serve the Lord in whatever ways He leads us. We can face death certain of going to be with the Lord and one day rising again. These are just a few things. There is so much more that is packed into salvation for us. And sometimes if we don't unearth all of that, if we don't seek God and seek these things, we just think, yeah, I came to Christ. And it's so much more. I mean, again, and you're probably sick of hearing it, but I know for a fact if I was not a believer, I wouldn't be here today. I would have self-destructed and I would be gone. I know it. And it was funny. It took me, you know, coming to terms with that was like sobering. Because it's like, you know, in my own head, you know, hey, I'm a pretty good guy. Hey, I try to do what's right. Hey, you know, it's like that's who I, you know, that's who we all are. But to really sit down and go, okay, let me evaluate. What sometimes entertains in my mind? What desires do I have from time to time? What things drive me? And to really come to grips with the fact that, man, if I was really left to my own, if I did not have the check valve of the Scripture, where would I go? What would I do? How would I live? And to go, man, I would choose self-destruction. I would do things and invite things into my life that would bring harm to me, harm to my family, harm to my kids, or if I even got to that far in life, that I'd have those things. It's sobering. But salvation provides so much for us, and sometimes we don't understand the immense benefits that God provides. The incredible gift. And it's a little bit, you know, well, you just read it, but it's like so great a salvation. And if we just go, yep, saved, check it, we've missed a lot. And we're missing a lot. And so the author here gives us some understanding, because it's like there is a force, or actually, dare I say, forces, that are out there that don't want to see this succeed. Do you feel it? Especially in our culture right now? I mean, it's palpable? Palpable. I was going to say palpable. I'm like, no, that's not right. Pulpit, palpable. There we go. But it is. I mean, what you hear on the radio, what you see on TV, what you hear other people talking about in public places, you can feel it. And that's the very environment God has sent us into to try to make a difference, to try to go and make disciples, because it's needed. It's necessary. And we have to remember that if but for the grace of God, we'd be there if you're a believer today. So that's the thing. We can't go, you know, oh, those people, oh, those unbelievers. That's who we were. That's what we were. And praise the Lord, somehow, some way, we came to Him and were transformed. But salvation is a starting place, for sure. So great a salvation requires personal attentiveness. We're going to go back to verse 1 here, Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. And this word drift is a nautical term. We'll get into that a little bit more, because I want to highlight a couple of other things here. Because the author's talking about we. He's including himself in this. This is not accusatory. He's saying, you guys are this and you guys are that. You know, here's the writer of a very substantial book of the Bible saying, hey, we I'm included in this. This is something we all have to pay attention to. This isn't just, you know, oh, you and you and you and, oh, the rest of us are fine. No, no, we have to pay attention here. We must give the more earnest heed. We're going to talk about degrees in a minute to what we've heard. And chapter 1 kind of gives us some insight. Again, we just, you know, kind of reviewed it really quickly. These are the words of Christ, which are the words of God. There's so much that's there. And I see this idea, it's funny, you know, I give the more earnest heed. Why did he choose that phrase? Why did he choose the way that goes? And it's like, I kind of thought, okay, let's break this down. Okay, you know, some people heed Christian things. And I think, you know, when you're just heeding stuff, when you're just, you know, making things aware, when you're just like acknowledging them, I think you're at the tipping point before you're really drifting away. I think that's bottom rung heeding. Proverbs, right? Talking to sons, listen to me, be attentive to the words of my mouth. So, you know, maybe you're, you know, listening to the Bible, or maybe you're listening to podcasts, or you have spiritual discussions, you know, or standing up for God in different areas. And I say it that way because it's like sometimes we think, those are great gains for my Christianity that I'm, you know, listening to a podcast. It's a good thing. I'm not saying don't do that. But it's really just kind of a, okay, yeah, you're open to listening to God. There are unbelievers that are kind of there. And don't be just that. And we're asked for a little bit more here. So, okay, so heeding, okay, yeah, I'm listening. Yeah, I'm connected to spiritual things. All good. But some may say, well, hey, I'm giving more heed. I'm doing more than that. You know, I'm a little deeper in my pursuit with God, His Word, holding up my life to the Scriptures. And Timothy would say, or what was told to Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All good stuff. All important things. And what I don't want you to hear is, here comes the laundry list of stuff I got to do as a Christian. Because if this is done biblically, it's seamless. It becomes something that's not even this, you know, overwhelming list. Because the Jews had that. 600 plus laws. Got to do this, got to do this, got to do this, got to do this. And we all know it doesn't work. We all loathe it. The law. And that's why grace came in. And when grace is in place in our life, and we're living according to that, and we're allowing that to lead, it isn't a labor. It isn't burdensome. Christ says, you know, my things are not burdensome to you. And some of that is coming to that understanding of your relationship with God and what that can produce in a life, your life specifically. But we're challenged here that we give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. And you're going to be less likely to drift away. And I say it that way, because it's like, all that, and we're only going to be less likely? Yeah. Because this drifting thing is not a passive aspect. Like I said earlier, this word drift is a nautical term, and it's meant by the, you know, when the prevailing winds and the currents of the sea just kind of draw you away. You know, and I'm immediately reminded to Walt's, you know, we're on the platform, and I don't know if I'm on the right side or not. But anyways, you start here and you may be drifting away and a little bit more and a little bit more. And you know, when we usually talk about it, it's about our decisions. But this is talking about something else. It's talking about culture just kind of pulling you and drawing you and sucking you into this place where, I am heartbroken when I hear somebody kind of walk away from the church and say, Christian living doesn't work. I'm like, then you're not living Christian living then. Because I know it works. My life has been radically transformed because of it. So I hear it and I understand it, but I don't comprehend those statements because it's like, you don't get it. You just don't get it. But this idea of drifting, this pressure, and that's the pressure you feel that you're pushing against day in and day out as a believer. See, that's the thing. Because that pressure is there as a believer, we feel that pressure a little more. The unsaved don't even feel it. They're just drawn away by the current. And they just kind of go with the flow. And, you know, that's, I wonder if that's where that came from, go with the flow. Go with the flow and just kind of, it just pushes you down the road and hey, it's a good thing. But we are challenged here to not let that happen. James, again, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Our life should be different because we're pursuing different choices. We're doing different things than the world is. And sometimes we look at the world and we go, you know, oh, I wish, and oh, if only. And it's like, and I'm not saying, you know, the things of the all things of the world are horrific, but they can cause damage. I was talking to somebody yesterday just how some things, some behaviors of the world have infected their life as a family and how it's brought so much destruction. And just, it's one little thing that just kind of happened. But it's had this unbelievable ripple effect. We've got to be cautious. We've got to be mindful. We've got to have more earnest heed to how we live. I say it all the time, the teen, when I worked with the teens, who are probably now all in here now because they're all older and serving up here. But it's like, you can live life or life will live you. And it's so easy to let that happen. You know, even on Sunday morning, it's like, it's so funny. We all do it. Everybody who comes up on this platform, you know, that countdown clock goes on and we all get like, the clock, the clock. It's like, we're afraid we're not going to be on the platform at the right time. It's crazy. But I mean, there's a lot of truth to that because I mean, our whole week can feel that way. You know, the alarm clock goes off, we get up, we do our thing, and oh, we get this appointment, that appointment, oh, and these things are happening, and all of a sudden, you know, 3 months have gone by. How did that happen? Where did that happen? Where did it all go? That's why. That's what causes the drift. That's what pushes us into places that we thought we'd never be or thought we'd never go because we're not giving heed to some things. When was the last time you were convicted of sin in your life? That you thought, oh man, this needs to go. Are you making changes that are lining up with Scripture, lining up with biblical things? And again, I'm not trying to bring this weight. Because literally, when we live this way, it takes the weight off. We start feeling the grace. We start feeling the righteousness that God provides in living according to His truth. And we start having the freedom from the things that control us and draw us and pull us in places that we don't need to be. Growing closer with God, growing closer with His people, serving in a way that is joyful and just adds to our life and is not burdensome. Seeking God's kingdom first. Do you ever think about that? Kingdom choices. You know, what can I do in this life that will have this kingdom effect? Being a witness and a testimony to people around you who don't know God, that's a great way. But there's a whole host of other things too. And I'm not going to tell you. You'll have to read the scripture. But making God's priorities your priorities. It's hard. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'd rather have it my way all the time. I know you guys aren't like that, but that's just me. That's how we're prone to be, and that can cause us to drift away unless we give more earnest heed to things. Ephesians challenges us. Be no longer children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Podcasts, as great as they are equally as dangerous. Because just like everything else, right? Things that can be used for good can be used for evil. And there's a whole host of stuff out there that sound great, that can draw you down a path of non-Christian life. You have to be discerning. You have to pay attention. And so this whole idea of giving heed, of requiring a personal attentiveness, we are responsible. I've said this so many times to my own kids. When you're standing before God, you can't point at anyone else and say, well, they didn't do it. No, we choose. That's another thing that salvation has provided. We are no longer bound by sin. We have freedom of choice. So if we sin, it's because we've chosen to disregard what God had to say about something. And did it our way. And that's so easy to do. That's why we've got to pay more close attention. That's why we've got to be attentive to these things. More earnest heed, lest we drift away. So our salvation, not our salvation, but our Christian life, our testimony, our witness, can just become, ugh. Because it just fades away with everything else if we're not paying attention to things. Don't be like what the people that Matthew talked about. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Matthew 15:8. We need to guard our hearts. We need to give more earnest heed to the things of the Lord. Drifting is something that is always possible. And if we do not remain attentive, giving the more earnest heed, we will drift away from the truth, from the Lord, in many cases, can drift away from the Christian life altogether. And if you're sitting here going, oh, that'll never happen to me, you're at risk. I'm at risk. One decision can derail a life. I know. I've sat in courtrooms supporting people who have made one decision. Their whole life was, you know, pretty okay. They made one decision that derailed life. It can happen. And if you're thinking, it won't happen to me, you're at more risk in my eyes, in my opinion. All right, but that said, where are you on this continuum? Are you just kind of like heeding? Yeah, I'm listening. I'm kind of paying attention. I'm trying. And maybe you're new to salvation and new to, you know, the Christian life. And, you know, that's where you need to be at. And that's okay. But I want you to know that there's more. More heeding. More than what you're settling for. Or maybe you are giving more earnest heed. And again, I'm not looking for fanatics here. I'm just looking for followers of Christ. I'm not asking to be some crazy person that's holding signs and picketing people and, you know, you're this beating people over the head with the Bible. No, just follow Christ earnestly. Because guess what? When people see Christ in you, they're drawn to it. They want to know, well, why did you say that? Or why didn't you say that? Or why did you do this? Or how come you make these choices? We're like the unicorn, you know, in the company. You know, how come you didn't take that promotion? It's like, well, God didn't lead me there. What? Following the money can be a trap and a half. I have fallen for that trap when I was out in the workforce. Follow the money. Sometimes it's not worth the money to have the added stress and craziness that comes with it. But more concerningly, have you drifted away already and you're just sort of on the periphery? You can't even see the harbor. And all you see is just water around, and you're feeling isolated and lonely, and you're blaming God for a bunch of stuff that's not his fault because you haven't been giving more earnest heed to things in your life. And that's equally as easy. But there's a way. We're going to continue on, verse 2. Yes, we're only at verse 2. For the words spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There it is. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. You know, we are saved from sin, but we are saved to live holy lives. And I go back to this first part, and I'm like, why on earth is this here? What is really trying to be said here? For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And so it's talking about, you know, in chapter 1, it's talking about who Christ is and how he's so much better and so much greater. And then here we're talking about what was done before. We have all of this stuff here on this side, i.e. the Old Testament, that gives us so much proof of who God is, on how he is. God is faithful. And we're told, for those whom he loves, he what? Chastises. Oh, that's no fun. But again, the one thing parenthood taught me, that if you don't teach your child to be safe, they will be unsafe. They will run out into roads. They will stick forks into plugs. They will do all kinds of stuff. And God sees us that way too. We're wielding forks all the time. And he tries to safeguard us. But we have so much proof of God's faithfulness, and he is consistent, if nothing else. And not only that, he is gracious. Because it's like, you look at all the times that the people of Israel went into captivity. If you don't do this, this is going to happen. La, 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 off to Babylon. It's crazy. But it's true. And the thing is we can't point a finger. If we were there, we would have been, you know, right along with the group going off to Babylon, because we would have been doing the same things. We can't say, oh, we wouldn't have done that. Yeah, we probably would have. Coming to grips with the truth about those kinds of things is hard. What? I'm not a perfect person? What? I'm not the picture of everything wonderful and bright? Sorry. None of us are. And that's okay. See, that's the thing. We all think we got to clean ourselves up. We've got to present this certain thing. God just says, come, I'll do that. Just put yourself in his hands and let him do this work. We have been given so great a salvation. And it goes on to say, verse 3 there, how should we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We'll talk about that in a minute. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. We have proof. See, that's the thing. I mean, we actually have more benefits as believers in this time frame. We've got scripture, completed word of God. That all we have to do is align and trust it. From the beginning, the Lord's been talking about this whole thing. Reestablishing relationship. Having it be this wonderful, intimate, close thing, which we all really want. Not only that, we need it, because that's how we're designed. God has designed us for relationship, designed us for community, designed us to be one body of many parts. That's how we were designed. But first here, this idea of so great a salvation requires personal devotion. We need to devote to ourselves that we will move away from sin and disobedience. See, we've got to help ourselves a little bit. We've got to make some of the right choices. We've got to choose to move toward God. We've got to choose to move toward God and away from things that are going to be harmful in our lives. And all of us know what those things are, at least some of them. Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? Oh, that is such an indictment. Because before salvation, we were in bondage to sin. We couldn't help it. We had no choice. After salvation, now if we sin, is because we're choosing to do those things. And it's hard. I get it. You know, my most current definition of sin is choosing to meet a need apart from God. Because there's needs in our life, and if we don't figure out or bring ourselves to the Lord and let Him show us how to meet them in Him, we're going to be at risk. We're going to struggle with things. But we don't have to. Because it's like we've got the written word, we can see how God works, we can see what He asks, and we can align to it. And part of that is being devoted to elevate Him in our life. Read His word and let it permeate our heart. Let it transform our thinking. Because guess what? There is an agenda out there in everything that's around us. Every ad, every TV show, every commercial, to me, I don't think there's any other commercial other than pharmaceutical commercials anymore. Are they making anything else but pharmaceuticals? I don't know. Because everyone is, and then you hear the list of things, and it's like, that's better? That's the cure? How is that better? Anyway, we need to be devoted to move away from sin and disobedience and devoted to moving toward biblical things, godly things. And we have to trust, because sometimes it's like that's the tipping point for us, is we're kind of like, oh, I want to do this and I need to do this, and it's like, can I trust God? Will I really get my need met if I do this God's way? You can trust Him. We've got such a book that shows you can trust Him, 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 you can trust Him. Every time He says it, He does it. And what He says He does, He does. Every time. He is trustworthy. Be devoted to move toward being led by the Holy Spirit. And that's challenging. Now, this word neglect that's up here, talking about, you know, don't neglect salvation. There's only one other place in Scripture that it talks about this, and it's in the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, 14 through 16. It says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hearts or hands on you. Practice these things, devote yourself to them, so that others may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Interesting. And I think that's all God's asking us to do. Not to walk in perfection, but to practice these things. Devote yourself to persist in this. You've got to push against the pressure. You've got to push against the current. You've got to push against the things that are going to have you drift away from Christian living, Christian thinking, Christian behavior. You've got to get involved here. I love how Matthew Henry kind of puts this as far as just kind of picturing Christ and kind of what He did here through His incredible sacrifice. He says this, from the glory of the person of Christ, He proceeds to mention the glory of His grace. His condescension itself was truly glorious. The sufferings of Christ had this great honor in them, to be a full satisfaction for the sins of His people. By Himself, He purged away our sins. That is, by the proper innate merit of His death and bloodshed, by their infinite intrinsic value, as they were suffering of Himself, He has made atonement for sin. Himself, the glory of this His person and nature, gave to His sufferings such merit as was a sufficient reparation of honor to God, who had suffered an infinite injury and affront by the sins of men. And sometimes we think of this whole global Jesus, but it's a personal one because He did it for you and 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 for you. I think you get it. It's that personal. And sometimes we make it more impersonal than it is. But this devotion starts when we receive Christ. We've got to be devoted to learning about Him, growing in Him, understanding Him, becoming the disciple or follower of Christ that we need to be that he desires us for to be. Putting your faith in him to save you from the eternal penalty of sin. He's provided it. He himself. If you're a believer here today, it is developing your relationship with God and making his priorities your priorities. And that's sometimes the rub. You know, I'm always immediately when I'm brought to that place, it's like, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he will add, it's a paraphrase, and he'll add all this other stuff. He's faithful to do that, but he's like, I want the first fruits. I want you to show me you trust me. And if it's good, he'll add things into your life that you never would believe he would do in a very cool way sometimes, because he wants to go, hey, I did that, and give me the glory for it. So great a salvation is not a checkbox item. And just to kind of highlight a little more, I normally don't like to read so much, but I just think there's a value here because I want you to hear God's heart, but I also want you to kind of be open to what can I do to get closer. So just listen to this person's kind of perspective on where they stand before God. I glory in your holy name, dear Lord, for in Christ I am righteous with his righteousness. I am justified, just as if I'd never sinned. I'm totally right with you. Thank you that on the cross Jesus bore all the guilt of all my sins, including past and present and future ones. How grateful I am that because of what Jesus did, you crossed out the whole debt against me in your account books. You nailed the account book to the cross and closed the account. Now, Father, I bow before you as the judge to whom I am accountable, as the final authority, the chief justice of the Supreme Court of all the earth, and I thank you. I praise you that you have said, and your word cannot be broken. No condemnation now hangs over the head of those who are in Christ Jesus. The judge himself has declared us free from sin. How I rejoice that through Christ, I am all right as a person, now and forever, totally clean, every stain removed, totally forgiven, no matter how great or recent a failure I've had to confess or how often I've failed. What amazing grace, what undeserved acceptance and favor. How wonderful that you asked me to do absolutely nothing to earn your forgiveness. No striving to measure up, no self-punishment, no prolonged remorse, no self-blame, no deeds of penance, that I don't have to sink down into regrets or into shame or into denial or into excuses for things I do wrong. I'm so thankful that you don't hold a pair of scales and ask me to pile up enough good works to outweigh my sins, my failures, my unworthiness, that it's all by grace through faith. What an incentive to live a life that pleases you, that brings you joy and not grief. I greatly rejoice in you, Lord. My soul exults in you, for you have clothed me with the garments of salvation. You have wrapped me with a robe of righteousness and beauty, as a bridegroom dressed for his wedding or a bride adorned with her jewels. Is that the relationship you have with God? That intimate, that personal, that understanding of his sacrifice for you? Salvation is what provides that. So great a salvation, I dare say. Requires personal attentiveness so we don't drift away, because if we're not paying attention, we're drifting. So great a salvation requires personal devotion, honoring God's preeminence in our life and having his priorities be our priorities. I say this to encourage you. I say this to lift you up and let you know that if you feel like you're far away, if you feel like you've drifted, you can get back on track, and God provides that way. Pray with me. Lord, we are humbled. You are so righteous. You are so holy. You are so faithful to do these things in our life. But Lord, even more incredible is you want a relationship with us. and you provided the best way possible for us to have it. And Lord, you also have so much in your word that provides understanding for us to eliminate things that are going to harm us and to embrace things that are going to bless us. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn how to love you in a way that will help us to do those things with more ease, with more desire. Sometimes we walk into your truth kicking and screaming, thinking that you're going to just ruin our lives. That's not so.